You may be seated. If you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, look down at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort. Let us pray. Our Father, we look to your word, and as we look to your word, we look to you. Lord, would you open up its riches to us, that we may understand and receive it with joy and walk in obedience. Father, we ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may recall from the last sermon in this series that we talked about the need for us to grab hold of the promises of God and then get to work at believing them. We are to obey and walk in the light of what God has said. This is how we are to live every day. It is putting the knowledge of God into action. It is the very partaking of the divine nature, and through that partaking, the Spirit molds our character into Christ-likeness. And that's how we have power to overcome our trials. That's where power comes from. We learned that power to overcome comes from knowing the promises of God and then walking in obedience to them. It really is that straightforward. Trust and obey. That's how the Spirit is poured out on your life. But we also said, if you recall, that often we don't actually do that. We get excited about the promises of God. They're quite wonderful. And then often we stand looking up at the sky, waiting for them to fall upon us like some sort of fairy dust. And perhaps while still harboring sin on the side, or just not doing the things that we know we ought to do. And we wonder why we're so powerless when temptation comes. Powerless over sin or our trials. And we said that this would be like if there was a famine in the land and you were starving. And someone comes along and says to you, "My garage is full of food for you. It's all yours, and it'll last the whole famine. Help yourself." We said that you would rightfully be happy and thankful, but if you never went to go get the food, well, your happiness would be for nothing. You would be the happiest and hungriest person in the world. You're still going to starve to death. You need to go get it. So in today's short passage, we see that truth in full force. Make every effort. All too often, we find ourselves without power. We find ourselves without hope in a dark valley. And so we look to the Word to see what God would have us do. And we find it. It's there. But then we find it hard. And we give up. Have you ever done that? I tried obeying, but it didn't work. Nothing happened. My situation is still bad. I prayed, but nothing changed. I went to church, but I didn't find what I was looking for. I tried being nice, but the other person didn't respond. And so we give up. Have you ever done that? I think many of us have at some point had this struggle. I know I have. Well, to carry our analogy further from last time, this is like if you are in the famine and you get hungry enough that you go to the garage full of food waiting for you to get something to eat, and you open that garage door, and what do you find? You find that it is full of wheat. Ah, there's work to do. You assume that you could just open the door and have your piece of cake and eat it too. But it's not like that, is it? You got to grind that wheat into flour if you want some bread. Maybe there's a cow in there and you have to choose, do I want milk or do I want steak? Either way, there's work involved and it just might get messy. When we come to the Scriptures, we find over and over again this call to work, to obey, to walk, to fight, to move, to put off, to put on, to care. We are called to action. We are to make every effort. So every effort to do what? What does it say? It says, make every effort to supplement your faith. Huh. So, once we have faith, we're to add to it. We're to add to our faith our effort. Now, this can bother some of us because we say, by faith alone, right? You will have heard that phrase, by faith alone. How can we add to it? Salvation is by faith alone. To which we say, yes and amen. Salvation is by faith alone. And now here we have the inspired Apostle Peter. He's writing Scripture and he's telling us that we are to supplement that faith. He says we are to add to it. Salvation is by faith alone, but faith does not remain alone. That concept is foreign to the Scriptures. Salvation might be by faith, but sanctification is not. It is through faith, yes, but sanctification is work. Make every effort. We are called to work. By the grace of God, we are called to get busy, not to earn our salvation, but to work it out. Right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We are not to earn our calling and election. We are to confirm our calling and election, making every effort. Not to earn God's praise, but to give the praise that is due Him. Every day He prepares in advance good works for us to do. We are made for action. Do we do them? Are we active? We are not saved by good works, but we are certainly saved to good works. Faith without works is a dead faith. We need to get busy. We must not be afraid of effort or of supplementing our faith. We need that. We must not be content to think rightly only, but not live rightly. They go together. Because we can get into that mistake of thinking that since salvation is by faith, that we shouldn't do anything, that somehow abiding in the Lord is to make sure that I don't do anything. I'm just going to sit and trust is what I'm going to do in my trial. But those who refuse to pursue God, those who refuse discipleship and prayer, refuse to work and to pursue obedience to His Word, are not living by faith, are they? They're living in rebellion. God says, make every effort. Faith is not passive. It must be applied. You can't just look to the sky and expect peace to fall on your soul like a gentle rain. We rightly think that we need to abide in Christ. We are to wait upon the Lord. We are to look to Him, yes. But we miss that abiding in Christ is not taking a nap and hoping that you wake up holy. Abiding in Christ means doing what He says. It means getting to work while trusting in His promises, no matter what. Doing the will of God while resting on what He has said, no matter if things are going well or not. That's abiding. Faith is not fairy dust. Faith gets to work. Faith sweats. Faith makes every effort. The Christian life is to be one of partaking of the divine nature. All of our life, it's active. And the way we do that is by making every effort to supplement our faith. This is to be our attitude. Today we're going to look at just this little phrase. In the months to come, Lord willing, we're going to look at each one of the things that we are to add in detail as we walk in discipleship under this word. What does it mean to add virtue to my faith? Does anybody know? Does it just mean less bad, more good? What does it mean? We want to dig in to understand how to make every effort, what we are to do. So we have heard that we have all that we need for life and godliness, right? We've already heard that. God has given it to us, and one of the things that he has given us is our work. If you want power in your life, go get it. That door isn't locked. It is full of food for you. Get to work. So let's look at this idea of supplementing our faith a little more closely. We start where all reasonable people start, at the beginning. Good place to start. The start of our brief passage. He says, for this very reason. So before we get to the work, we need to get to our motivation. We need to know our why. If I'm going to make every effort, that sounds strenuous. If I'm going to make every effort, if I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can, I really would like to know why. Why am I working so hard? Why is this so important? What's the reason for this urgency, Peter? And he tells us the reason. What is he referring to when he says, for this very reason? What's he talking about? Obviously, he's talking about what he just said. And he said that we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That's the reason. There we have it. Listen to what he's saying to you. Believer, says Peter, you just escaped death, the corruption of sin. You have escaped an eternity of hellfire, of suffering, and unending, everlasting, eternal anguish. You have escaped. Death had you in its clutches. Believer, you were helpless. And you were being dragged down to the grave. And now you have been saved through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 1. You have been set free from the grasp of death. Peter says, now get out of there. You got to get out of that grave, Lazarus. You are Lazarus. And you have been called out of the grave. Don't stay there, or you will remain there. Make every effort to move. And we're warned about this. All the stuff we will cover as we move along. But if you look at chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, here's a warning. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, that's what we're talking about, if they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, through knowledge we have all we need, right? He's still talking about the same thing two chapters in. If they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. You have escaped the corruption of sin in the world. You have escaped hell itself. You have been called out of the grave, Lazarus. That is why you need to make every effort. Peter says that the one who doesn't make every effort to add these things to their faith, to supplement their faith, that person becomes blind. They forget the gospel that saved him. Verse 9, after he talks about these things that we are to add to our faith, he says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Get out of the grave. Get moving. Faith needs to grow or it withers. It gets choked out. Remember the parable of the soils, right? Three plants came up. Two of them looked pretty good, but they were not fruit-bearing plants. So they were taken away. Peter says, if you are not making this effort, if you are not growing in your sanctification, if you are not adding to your faith to grow, you're going to forget your salvation. That's what happens. You're going to forget, and you're going to return to your slavery to evil desires, and you're going to end up worse off than before, having once tasted the goodness of the Lord and then having returned to sin. How do you fill your days? We've been saved by those useless things that we used to love. And we have been saved unto good works, to worship, to love one another. All the one another is in Scripture. Peter says, if you don't pursue those things that God has for you, what are you going to do with your time? You're going to end up going back to where you were. You're going to be worse off. So this is intense. We just heard that God has given us all we need for life and godliness. You have all of it. And I'm like, yay, that's amazing. What a wonderful promise. I want to get me some of that. But then you find that it's a lot of work. This life is hard. The trials are heavy. You didn't expect that one to come your way. And it's easy then to be discouraged. This is too hard. I'm not going to do these things. It's too hard. And Peter says, watch out. Do not become enslaved again. Get out of that grave. Move. So the point is, real faith results in real effort. There it is. You're not earning your salvation at all. You're proving it. So many people struggle with assurance of salvation on this very point. There's a few others, but this is a main one, at least for some. There are those who do not make every effort. They do more or less nothing. They pursue the vanities of this life, pouring out their years on useless idols. And they are weak, and they quickly turn to sin, and then they wonder why they have no assurance. Why am I so afraid? Where is the Lord? Why am I so afraid? And it's because they have no root, and they have no fruit. There's nothing there. They have failed to cultivate their hearts, and now there is no harvest. They did not make every effort. Now there's nothing to take into the barn. Peter is saying, you have escaped. Now be free. Do not become enslaved again. Don't go back. Don't do it. You're going to be worse off than before. Why are we to make every effort? Because that's what true faith does. It comes out of the grave, and it does not return to it. Joy, power, and assurance are given to those who make every effort to obey the God who saved them. They will be effective and fruitful. Faith is shown by what it does. James tells us that. I will show you by faith by what I do. Faith is shown by its effort, and we're told to make every effort. Show your faith. Show it. Show it. It does not remain hidden in here and in here. It's got to come out. Making that effort. Faith has to grow or it withers away. So you ask yourself, how are you doing? Are you willing or are you wilting when it comes to your obedience? Are you willing or are you wilting? If your life was examined, the effort of your faith, would that bear out? If I say, no, I'm willing. I'm willing to do. I'm willing to make every effort. And you came into my life, would my day-to-day actions bear that out? And you would say, yes. Or would you say, I'm not sure. He talks a good game. I don't see the effort. We're called to make every effort. So we have our why. We've been called out of the grave. We are Lazarus. Come on out now. You're alive. You were dead. Jesus raised him to life, and he didn't just stay there in the grave. He had to get out. Get moving. So we have our why, it's the gospel. So now we can look at what does that mean then to make every effort. Okay, I get it. I have to make every effort. What does that mean? That is both simple and complicated. Let's look at it this way, in a bit of a simplistic way, but nonetheless true. Very practically, it means this. It means this. You don't build your Bible reading into your schedule. You build your schedule around your Bible reading. Thinking differently. You don't find time to pray. You build your life around your prayer time. God comes first. Now, life is messy. I know that. I know. But it means that whatever happens in your life, whatever is going on, God remains in the center. He's not an add-on. He's not an afterthought. He's not a shallow acknowledgement. He doesn't get token worship once a week. He is all. And you pursue Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. I don't know how to say it any more starkly than this. He is our God. Think of that next time you have no time for Him. He is my God. How else can you say that? Making every effort means that all we do is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live for His glory. And if this sounds a little extreme, like I'm being pushy, go back to the why that we just talked about of all of this. Our why. Remember your salvation, the gospel, the forgiveness of your sins, your rescue from sin, death, and the grave, and the eternal flames of hell. Remember your salvation. You are loved. You are free. You're not slaves anymore. You are children of the living God. And you are called out of the grave. Oh, that we had eyes to see the glory of our salvation and that we have walked out of the grave. It has no sting for us anymore. What salvation is that? But we are weak, aren't we? And so we need to fan our faith into flame. We are weak, weary, and heavy laden indeed. So we need to remind ourselves of who God is. We need to make every effort to supplement our faith, you see? Staying stagnant is not an option. Hidden and secret sins are not an option. Going back to Egypt is not an option. We must not. The reason that God has given us this freedom from the corruption of evil desires is so that we would be free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So live like free men. Don't go back to those miserable sins, that darkness that God saved you from. Why would we return back to the grave? That's insane. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is from Galatians. Do not turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you once were. Do not go back to Egypt. We are to make every effort not to be saved, but to prove it. So here's what making every effort means. It means that you're in the Word daily. This isn't complicated. You're in prayer daily. I think it was Paul Washer who gave the little challenge. He said, compare your screen time to your prayer time. And then he moved on. It means you commit to a church. It means you practice the one another's. It means you confess your sins. You find a way to serve, you worship, you make every effort, taking every opportunity that is available to you, not wasting the days, redeeming the time. Look, you can't make yourself joyful. There's not a switch that you can just switch on and now you're joyful. You can't make yourself joyful, but you can make yourself rejoice, right? Yes, you can. Rejoicing is a choice. You can make yourself rejoice, so rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Here's a little secret. Rejoicing leads to happiness. does. We are told to meditate and think about what is right and good and pure and lovely. We are told to be thankful and full of praise. Do we make every effort to be thankful? Or do we not, and then wonder why happiness is so elusive, why I'm so restless? Make every effort. Make every effort. Leave immaturity behind. Leave the vain things of this life behind. Why would you stay there? Pursue godliness. It is there that you will find joy again. It is there that you will find peace again, and it is there you will find assurance. It is there you will find power. Do you ever feel like your love for the Lord is too small? I do. My love for the Lord is too small. If I really loved Him, all things would be different. And I pray, increase my love. Lord, I want to love you more deeply. And Peter says, well, that's good. Don't just sit there and lament your weakness. He says, make every effort to increase your love. Verse 7, that's one of the items we want to be looking at. He gives us a command. Make every effort to increase your love, to add love. There's something that we can do. We don't sit around waiting for the fairy dust to fall. He says, make every effort to increase your love. So Lord willing, we're going to take one sermon per item in the coming months. And we'll look at what it means to supplement our faith with self-control, to supplement our faith with virtue and with love and steadfastness, so that as a church, we dig in deep and we take time. It's not just, I need less bad and more good in my life. No, I need virtue. How am I going to get it? The Bible says I can make every effort to add love to my faith. Well, I want me some of that. Let's walk slowly and meditate and put into practice these things. Make every effort. You can get stronger. You can be fruitful. That's what Peter's saying. You can overcome the darkness that stalks you at night. You can resist the temptation that keeps beating you. How many walk in defeat to a certain besetting sin, year after year and on? Hear the word of the Lord, you can overcome. Do you make every effort to add to your faith? Because God has given us all we need for life and godliness. There's nothing missing, there's nothing lacking, the door isn't locked, it's all there, and He says, come, come, make every effort. Oh, do we do that? Compare your prayer time to your screen time. If only we would realize that the door to our own prison isn't locked anymore. You're free. Through this knowledge of God, we receive power to overcome. And through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we escape the darkness of sin and death. And now we stand in the light. And why are we here? Why do we stand in the light? To be fruitful. Jesus said it. It is to the glory of God that you bear much fruit. We say all things for the glory of God. Yes and amen. How do we glorify God? Jesus says, by bearing much fruit. By being fruitful. It's not fairy dust. By bearing much fruit. This is God's will for you. This is God's will for His creation. Now, He has bought Himself a people by the blood of Christ. And He said, it is my will that you be exceedingly fruitful, abundant life. And that will glorify me. What does it say in the Psalms? In the day of your trouble, you will call upon me. I will answer you, and you will glorify me. That's the pattern. Troubles are going to come. He says, when troubles come, you call upon me. When you call upon me, I will answer you. I've given you all you need. And when I have answered you, you will glorify me. You will be fruitful. That is God's will for you. You're not stuck. You're not some exception to the rule. No, you have been called out. It is to the glory of God that you bear much fruit. That's God's will, to know the joy of the Lord in your life. We are told to be what we are. You're free, so live like it. You're alive. So get out of the grave. You are a holy people. Live like you are holy people. You are sons of the living God. So live like you are a son of the living God. Yes. The more knowledge of God you have, the more you know Him as revealed in His Word, the more zeal you will have to glorify Him. Making every effort becomes your great joy because you love Him. And if your love is small, we loop right back again, Peter says. Make every effort to increase it. Oh, the door isn't locked at all, is it? And temptation begins to grow small as God grows great. So let us not fear the work. God has called us to it. He has created good works in advance for us. We are to seek those good deeds like hidden jewels along our path. He has put treasure under your very feet. Find them. We are to make every effort to supplement our faith. We have plenty of opportunity to do what is right in a sin-sick world, don't we? You will have many opportunities before this day is out to do that which is right for the glory of God and have the Spirit poured out upon you. We are to make every effort to supplement our faith. In this work, we find this path to blessing, to fruitfulness, power, joy, peace, assurance, life, all the rest. God's people are to be evergreen. We never work for our salvation, but we always work our salvation out. God says in the book of Hosea, "My people die from lack of knowledge." We keep coming back to this concept of knowledge. We need the knowledge of God. And what I'm telling you today is knowledge. It's the knowledge you need. Don't just let it get into your head for this morning. Don't say that was a good sermon, and by Tuesday, that's all you remember of it. It was good. Less bad, more good? I forget. But it was good. I was very inspired. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let it sink into your heart and let it flow out of your fingertips as you put that knowledge to work through faith in the promises of God. Let us make every effort. So we have our why, the gospel. We have been rescued from the corruption of the world. We're to come out of the grave. And we have our what? We come out of the grave to glorify God in our work, our good deeds, and making every effort. And then we have this warning, just in case the why gets foggy. Peter's going to give us a warning to keep driving the point home that this effort is not an option. It's not a take it or leave it kind of a thing. If you stop paddling on the river, you don't just sit there. The stream will take you somewhere. Stagnation is not an option. So look then what he says later on, starting in verse 8. We jump around a bit because this is all one big glorious idea, and so we're going to take a number of months to go through all of this. But in verse 8 he says, if these qualities, these things that we are to add to our faith, if they are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, if you lack these qualities, if you don't have them, if you're not growing in them, you're going to become nearsighted. Eventually, you're going to become blind, and you will forget your salvation. And someone mentions the gospel, they'll be like, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, it's good. And Ichabod, the glory is gone. You forget. You forget the gospel, and you forget the knowledge of God. And in the end, you become an easy prey for false teachers, which is what Peter is battling against in this letter. Those who remain in immaturity, this is the warning, those who remain in immaturity, who think they can do it on their own without these daily disciplines of word and prayer, fellowship in the church, they will come under the influence of false teachers. Beware, beware of your pride if you think that you can neglect the things of the Lord, that you cannot make effort and escape. That's a lie. You are already ripe for the picking from false teachers. That's the danger that Peter is warning us about in this letter. And he says, I always need to remind you of these things now and after I'm gone. You're going to need constant reminders, Peter says. Because I'm going to make sure that you don't forget. I'm going to write this down. as very specifically as I can. Here's what you do to not get ensnared by false teachers, because they're coming. If you're not ready, you're going to get swept away. This is that important. Not working out your salvation is going to put you in great danger of being deceived. So we will get to all of this in more detail, step by step, slowly. But I want to impress upon your heart why Peter says to make every effort. And the why extends in both directions. In one direction, we make every effort because we have been set free. This is positive and exciting. Yes, there is power and there's joy, there is assurance for those who work out their salvation. And in the other direction, we make every effort so that we do not become enslaved or re-engraved. That's a word. That's the negative exhortation. And it's a real threat to all who refuse to grow. There are false teachers who will ensnare you, and you will forget the gospel and go after diverse and strange teaching. Hebrews 13:9. It's a real threat. One of the things that is drawing us to 2 Peter at this point in our church life is the reality that you can have access to 100 false teachers before noon. Just pick up your phone. Do we know how to guard against such things? You can get ensnared. And if you think that it doesn't pertain to you, that you can handle it, then the message is especially for you. You're already ripe for the picking. Beware the pride of self-sufficiency. I don't need it. No, make every effort. You do need it. There are no shortcuts. Walk the path and grow strong in the Lord. Great is your reward. So how do you apply this? There's a lot here. The great freedom of the gospel and the power to escape the corruption of the world all the way to forgetting the gospel and being worse off than you've ever been. That's a pretty wide swath. So we say, what do I do? What do I do? Here's what you do. Don't panic. Pick one thing. That's what you do. Just pick one thing. Pick something that needs to change in your life. Maybe it's daily Bible reading or a devoted time to prayer. Maybe you need to come to the church prayer meeting Sunday morning. Maybe you need to come into membership in the church to fulfill the one another's. Maybe you need to set a hard limit on your screen time. Maybe you need to confess your sin to someone and set a relationship right. Whatever it is, pick something. You have something in mind, don't you? Most of you will. Most of you know this is an area. This is an area I have not made every effort at all, actually. I can do it. I can make every effort. I'm going to do something. The Bible says make every effort. It's not fairy dust. It says get to work. So whatever it is, pick something and then do it. Do it. Keep it manageable and measurable. Don't say you're going to win all of Canada to Christ by Tuesday. Pick something and then do it. And after you have done it, repeat. Pick something else and do that. And repeat. And keep going. Do not give up. This sermon could not be more practical. After all of that, we say, make every effort. Oh, how easy it is to get blown away. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. It's not too much. Pick something. Pick one. Pick one. Say, I'm going to make every effort here. Lord, help me. I'm going to add to my faith this. And then do it and repeat. And there you have the Christian life. There you have the Spirit of God being poured out on your life. There you have conformity to Christ's likeness. There you have power over temptation when it comes your way. There you have reconciled relationships. There you have the spread of the gospel. Oh, there we have life coming out of the grave. It doesn't have to be so spectacular. pick something and then do it. That practical. Make every effort. If you do this, listen to this. If you do this, God promises you that you will not be ineffective. You will not be unfruitful in your life. If you do this, your knowledge of Him will grow. And out of that knowledge comes power and joy and peace and wisdom, the fruits of the Spirit. And as we have read, the grace of God will multiply in your life. God is the one who has promised this, and He does it. And He has revealed that He does this through our efforts, through our working out our salvation, our obedience. Salvation, sanctification isn't rocket science, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. We need to get to work. There is grace and peace available to you. There are all things pertaining to life and godliness available to you, and through the knowledge of God it comes. What I'm giving you today is knowledge. Here it is. Here's the answer. So pick something and start putting in the work, and do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. The promise holds. No matter how dark the valley is, how deep it goes, and how rough your path, the promise holds. He has given us all we need for life and godliness. That means even in your valley, do not lose hope. Do not quit. Keep going. These are fair winds to Emmanuel's land. Sail them. Sail them. They are fair winds. They will take you home. Don't give up. God has promised to reward you greatly. You have the promise of God. It's yours. And for that very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Get out of that grave, Lazarus. Let us pray. Father, we long to hear and receive your word, knowing, Lord, that it is by your grace we have been called. It is by your grace that we have been saved. You have done it. You are our God. And having been called out of the grave, Lord, we long to come to walk in obedience to you. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit upon us? May you convict hearts where it is needed so that we would know what to do, and would you give great blessing as we pursue making every effort, as we pursue it for your glory, not for ours, for your praise, not for ours, for you, not for our own merit, but because you have saved us for this very reason. May we have joy as we walk our valleys, knowing that your word is true, whether we can see it today or not. Lord, may we be strengthened by the word. May we be a people who encourage one another, reminding one another of this word, so that there would not be one who loses heart. There would not be one who fails to be fruitful. Lord, would you rescue your people? It is all of you. It is by your Spirit we pray for it. It is by your Spirit we walk in it. It is by your Spirit that we need it. We pray in Jesus' name.